It's all connected.
Circles. That would be me.
Yeah. All right. So we're live right now, right here on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz on this Monday, November 23rd, 2020.
Yes. And, only 7 days or something like that till Christmas.
What?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what that means. Anyway, this is episode 19.
Christmas.
Well,
Christmas.
In 7 days? Okay. Anyway.
That's the 1st of December.
Yeah.
That means Christmas.
All right. This is episode 19 of the It's All Connected show. And today's title of the show is Love, Anger, Kindness, Inspiration, and Creation.
Ooh.
And
not Christmas, because you hate it when people talk about Christmas when it's not December, right?
Well, you know, before Thanksgiving, I think it should be. That's not good.
That's why I'm doing it.
Oh, God.
So you should take it personal. And Merry Christmas, Grimnir.
Thanks, Zerk. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Christmas is an important thing to me because it's already dark all the time.
No, it's not. It's not dark right now.
Yeah, it's been dark for many hours.
Well, for you, it's dark. But for me, it's noon. So,
yeah.
So that's high noon, right? Oh, yeah. But it does get dark early. It's getting dark here now at 4:55 p.m.
Ouch.
And getting light at 6:47 a.m. So, the light comes in through the window there in the bedroom in the early morning, wakes me up.
Which
I'm not a particular fan of. I've tried, blackout stuff, but it doesn't really work that well. Anyway.
Okay, here it goes. It's dark until 8, and the sun is down again at 4.
Wow, that's a short day. Of course,
it's not even the shortest.
You're up pretty far north, so
that
would make sense, and I'm not.
That's what Christmas is about.
About being dark?
Yeah.
So Christmas is a dark time.
Christmas is the turning point of the light.
Actually, it's the 21st, but okay.
Yeah, but
that's the Yule. That's the Yule.
Then you have 3 days of standstill, right? And then it turns on the 24th.
25th.
Isn't that how it is?
Wouldn't it be the 25th?
I don't know. I celebrate Christmas on the 24th.
You're a weirdo.
I'm not.
Why not?
You're the original gangster. Come on.
I like weirdos.
Well, we weren't going to talk about Christmas, though.
No, it's not. It's not in our topic list.
No, because I knew you wouldn't have accepted it if I had wrote Christmas.
Well, maybe when it gets closer.
Okay, let's do that.
Well, let's make a note, but not necessarily.
Remember it. We could just, not and say we did it.
Not and say we didn't? Okay.
We could not talk about Christmas and then in a later show say, remember the time when we covered Christmas? But we didn't.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. So you want to talk about love.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about love about? About love about? That's
about love about? Love?
Just a little redundant. All right.
I don't know. Love is a big thing, though, right?
Love is a big thing. It can mean all kinds of stuff.
It can.
I could say, I love you, so you're a person.
Aw.
I know. Isn't that sweet? But I could also say, I love hamburgers.
Well, does it make you happy inside when you eat hamburgers?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I love hamburgers. Yeah.
See, then you love hamburgers.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing, though, right?
No. I mean, it's fine. You know, I love the blues. You know.
So, what does it do to your life when you focus it around things you love?
Well, it makes you happy, right? I mean,
yeah.
It makes you smile. It makes you feel good. It makes you, makes me anyway. I don't know about you, but yeah. I mean, love is generally, you say it, when there's something that you have a good feeling being around or enjoy doing or whatever. You know, I love skiing. Not necessarily, but that's, you know, a thing that people
do.
Do
you love skiing, though?
I used to ski when I was younger, much, much younger, and I sucked at it.
What did you like, do downhill or?
Yeah, downhill. You go to these places where they have the ski lifts there, and you ride up the ski. And then that was really the worst part for me, was a ski lift. I hated those things.
Never been in one.
The lift part is fine. Getting on them and off them was the terror.
I went to Norway for a skiing trip a whole week and never got on one of those lifts.
Oh, okay.
I looked at it and I went, uh-uh. No, ain't doing that. What's the other kind of skiing you say? Oh, the track thing? Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Cross country?
Yeah, so I did that instead.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, I guess that seems like a lot of work, though.
It was fun. But it's a pretty, you know, I was in Norway, so it's very pretty, right?
Okay. Well, I only skied at Big Bear Mountain, which is in Southern California, San Bernardino Mountains there.
Yes.
And, so, it was always crowded, you know, a bunch of idiots out there. Of course, I was one of the idiots, too. I spent more time on my ass than I did on my skis, so... yeah.
But would you like to go skiing some other time, though? Would you like to try it again?
No, I'm too old. Or
would you be scared?
I wouldn't be scared. I would just, I know that I would wind up in pain afterwards.
Wouldn't you be scared, though?
No, skiing never scared me. I was never scared of going down the hill. And, you know, I learned all the tricks before I went up the hill the first time. You know, how to slow down, how to turn, how to fall, which was a big thing. That was my big move, falling. I was good at falling. I never hit a tree or anything. I didn't do a Sonny Bono.
No, I just looked at the whole thing, you know.
Oh yeah,
so
no.
I used logic, though. You're not supposed to do that when it comes to enjoying stuff, right?
No, absolutely
not. But I did
not
apply
no,
logic.
No. Logic is perfectly acceptable when enjoying things. Yeah.
Well, that means you would never go skiing, though.
Well, I used bigger than skiing for me was the off-roading on motorcycles, quad racers, three-wheelers.
See, and if you applied logic into that, you would never do it.
Well, no, I mean, probably not. I mean, hey, you go coming, fly, you know, shooting up the backside of a sand dune, and you're going to fly across that. You're going to be up in the air, kind of out of control, more or less. I mean, you can shift your weight around in the air, but you don't know exactly what's on the other side of that hill. So you could be flying off and yeah, there might be somebody down there that, you know, in their machine that you land on. Of course, I never had that happen to me, but...
Yeah, I'm not never going to do that.
Oh, it was the freaking best time of my life. Just
I don't even
shooting around on a quad racer, man. Oh, nothing like it. Nothing like it. And so I could absolutely say I loved that activity.
I loved it. Yeah, and it made you feel good, right?
Oh, this made me feel like freaking Superman, man.
And now when you think back, though, you can still unwrap that feeling.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and even my buddies that were out there, because I used to go out there with a bunch of buddies, you know, of course. That's how you do it. You go camping out in the desert, and then you get with your machines. But they would always tell me that I rode like somebody with reckless abandon. I would just tear it up out there. That was freaking awesome. Good times,
yeah,
good times.
I'm way too clumsy to be reckless. I mean, I get hurt just
well,
walking down
you know,
the street, right?
Okay, tell me this. Okay, you're clumsy. I'm a klutz to the max.
No, you're not.
I am.
How long have I known you?
I don't know.
Years,
5 years,
though, right?
5 years, something.
You never break anything or get hurt.
Oh no, that's not true. One time I was.
For those 5 years, I broke fingers. I destroyed my own eye. I busted up knees.
Well, I don't always tell everybody about all my self injuries.
Oh.
But I do remember telling people about this one time. I was getting up. I was on the floor looking in my safe there, and when I got up, I did something weird, something wrong. I don't know what it was with my foot. And it ripped my toenail straight off. Poof.
Ow.
Oh, boy, did that hurt. So, but that was due to my own klutziness. And, you know, but I've done plenty of other things that are just, you know.
What do you do with that? Just wrap a Band-Aid and.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. It's still growing back.
You just
back
wrap
after,
it, right? You just wrap it and that's it.
It's still growing back after like 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
They don't grow back fast. Anyway, so no, I'm.
That's my favorite pastime thing, though.
I am not a coordinated person. You know,
no,
I
but
was
my
never
favorite
good.
Pastime thing is where did you get that scar from? That's really the best. Just get people talking about all their scars.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of.
No.
I don't have a lot of scars, but I did break a lot of bones when I was a child.
See, then you might be one of the club members.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I broke my right arm twice and my left arm once. I busted both of my collarbones at the same time.
Ow.
Yeah. And that
never
was,
broke a collarbone, though. Ow.
That was when I was like four, when I was 4 years old.
Ow.
And I was at like a playground thing. And I saw an open swing. Ooh, I'm going to go get that swing. So I go running over there to get the swing and not really paying attention to the other kids on the swings there. And this kid came swinging up as I was running by, and his feet hooked me underneath the shoulders there, and I flew. Whew, I flew up into the air over this 6-foot fence, landed square on the shoulders on my back, and it busted both of my collarbones.
Ouch.
And apparently, I was, from what I heard, I don't really know, but apparently from what I heard, I was silent about it. I didn't cry. I didn't moan. And from one of the things I heard is I was at the hospital with these two broken collarbones, and I was not saying anything or crying or anything. And this other lady there with her son that was there with like a broken finger or something, and who was just bawling his head off. And and the lady came over and gave me a dime for being such a good kid.
Last time I went to the not the last time, but when I went there with my fingers, right? This little kid was sitting there, and he was so proud because he broke his hand. And
proud?
His,
yeah, proud of breaking his hand?
Yeah, he was so proud because he kept telling me about how he had made money from it. Because his mom's insurance paid out probably what, like $500 or something for a broken wrist.
Yeah.
And his mom had given him that money. So he was like, yeah, I got 4 more weeks of this, then I'm ready for the other one.
Right.
Like this little kid at 7 years old with his broken wrist, right?
Yeah.
I've got money from it. I got money. Okay. There you go, kid.
Oh, yeah. Rob points out that you could get a big candy bar for a dime back then. Yeah. 1964.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the woman did it just to make her own kid feel bad.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Well, how come you didn't let out anything? You just went into shock, or?
No, I don't know. I just the way I was. I was.
I was.
You know, so you know how some people are. They just don't really share out their feelings on things, which I would be one of those. And And so my pain was my pain. It was for me. It wasn't for anybody else. But after that, I do remember after that, that I was at a public pool with my, you know, my mom and my siblings there. And I had this big cast thing that went over both of my shoulders. And so I couldn't go in the pool, but I was sitting on the edge of the pool there, saying, and some nasty ass little brat, as they are at public pools. I don't know if you have public pools over there, but
yeah.
And anyway, so some nasty ass little brat came running by and shoved me into the pool.
Wow!
And since I had these just basically cement, on my shoulders, I went sinking.
Wow.
I went sinking straight to the bottom.
Because nowadays they got those lightweight casts, right?
Yeah.
Kids don't know what it was like back then.
Oh, yeah, plaster, man. Just anyway, so I almost drowned at that point. But I guess I gained a fear of water after that. Water on my head, anyway. Not a fear of water just by itself, but yeah. So I had a problem with that for a long time.
I can see why.
Yeah, well, you know.
So what did they put on a new cast on you, or did you just got home?
I don't recall.
You know,
I don't recall that part. I don't recall that, but anyway.
Because
so,
I remember I jumped out of the window from the second floor in my school one day, right?
Why?
It was a game. And the other ones, they were taller than me, so they could sort of like hang out from their arms and then reach this little ledger and then stand on that and then jump on something else. And I wasn't that tall, so I sort of just hang there out the window, and you know, I jumped.
Yeah.
Right. And I broke my leg horribly. Right. In a horrible way. So I got this big cast on, and I had to have it on for like 2.5 months or something, which is a long time.
That is a lot. It's usually like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but because it was in, I was growing, and they were scared that it would grow crooked, and I would be crooked-legged for the rest of my life. And so I had this really big cast on. When there were like 3 weeks left, I had enough,
uh-huh.
So I took it off, right?
Sure.
I sat down on the curb, and I just smacked it into the curb until it broke, and I could break it off. So I just had enough, and I took it off. On my way to school, and I went to school, and it really hurt. It's been in there for a long time, and it was still broken, but I just had enough. So I went to school, and I hung out, and I played all day, and I was really dreading going home because I didn't know what to tell my mom. You know, it fell off, mom. So I went home and I told my mom, well, it fell off. I slipped and it fell off. And she's like, right. And we had to go back. I thought, because there were only like two, three weeks left.
Yeah.
So I figured, okay, they're just going to, you know.
Yeah, this is just extra. They don't really need it.
Yeah, no, I just get off, you know, early for good behavior, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it was like after, because I just had broken one arm, then another arm, so I really had a cast on for many months.
Okay.
So I just threw it off. So we went to the doctors again, and they put the whole thing back on. And since my mom told them that I was such a clumsy person that the other one just fell off, they might want to make it extra secure, right?
Oh.
So the young doctor, who was like an idiot, that decided to side with my mom, he made like a cast. I don't know. I don't think it even dried in the 3 weeks.
Okay.
That was like I had a rock on my leg for the 3 weeks.
And you were how old at this time?
I was 11.
11. 12. A rebel at 11.
It was. You know how much? You know how that scratched?
Oh, I know how much those casts itch, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I already dropped like 2 pencils and a fork and something else into it from scratching, right? Whoops. Oh, fuck. Right? That I couldn't get up.
Oh, man.
So, you know.
But,
yeah. Well, let's talk about love then, Grimner.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah.
Tell me about love. What do you love? Who do you love?
Well, first of all, I see love as something more than just, you know, something that, you know, it's also something that I do or someone that I love.
Okay.
But it's also bigger to me, though.
Bigger than?
Than just the moment it's in. And and there are many kinds of love, though, right?
There are very many, as I was saying at the beginning there. You can love all kinds of different things in different ways. And you know,
I do love my husband, though.
I'm glad to hear that. That's a good thing.
Fairy tale kind of way.
If you're married, it's good to love the person that you're married to.
Yeah. Well, it would be a different adventure, definitely, if I didn't.
Yes.
Because it's just adventures, though, right?
But then there's that thing when, well, I imagine it's happened to you at some point in time, that you're, like, in love with somebody and they, like, you know, profess their love to you, but eventually they break your heart.
Oh, yes.
And that's devastating. And it can last, well, forever, that devastation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, love's got the flip side, right?
Well, everything's got the flip side.
You don't
stop eating hamburgers because there is a chance that someday you might never get hamburger again. So you better not just, you know, might not indulge in hamburger now.
Well, you know, you might stop eating hamburgers if you realize they're causing you damage in some way.
Love doesn't cause you damage, though.
Oh, well, I disagree.
I think love is going to change the world, though. I think love is always changing
during that love time. It's awesome and wonderful and everything's whatever, beautiful. But when it comes crashing down on your head, then there's damage. That's severe damage.
I don't know. It's part of life, though.
It is part of life, and you know, they say, oh well, just because you got burned on this time or hurt on that time, you can't reject it. I do. I mean, I
don't think. I think maybe you're rejecting romantic love, though.
There are other
loves because there's stuff everywhere making you feel good inside.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's all love, though.
That is.
Because I think love might be a force.
Oh, if you're a funny dude. They're talking. Oh. No, see, I have no fear of love. I have a fear of the pain that comes after.
But that's the romantic. That's the romantic love, though.
It is, and it's not. How do I even say this?
That there are other kinds.
There are other things, and they can also turn on you and hurt you, or if they, you know. Okay, you have dog, right?
Yeah.
And have you ever had a dog that died?
Yeah.
And that just hurts. Oh, that hurts when
but
that happens.
Part of life.
But it's different.
And
it's not.
And
it's
you
not,
really, it's, you really want to let, you know, if you're trying, if you're living your life trying not to let your get your heart broken.
Yeah.
You're living a life in the state of brokenheartedness.
Yeah.
You're just avoiding the deepest feelings in life because the absence of them is devastating.
Right.
So you're constant living in the absence that you find devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, it creates a hole there for sure.
The hole that you're trying to avoid.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a difficult thing.
I think, yeah, I'm gonna let my heart out there to be broken all the time. I'm gonna fill it up. That's what life for me is all about.
Okay.
I'm not scared of rejection, and even though I am scared of losing what is dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
That would never stop me from loving it.
Okay.
And enjoying it. And I really think that not just the romantic love, but the entire thing of just living in the integrity of love, right?
Okay.
As energy, as a vibe, as a way of life. Because I'm kind of religious about the whole love thing.
All right. No, I could tell that from your chat and from talking to you and things like that, that you are.
That's to me, that's like the, because I don't think of it as just an emotion. And to me, love is like a force of nature. It's what creates everything.
Okay.
Or a dimension, I don't know. Or a weave.
Know,
right? Yeah, like weaved into to fabric of shit, right? It could be one of
well,
the
no,
threads.
Well, no. It's all connected.
In the time-space, right?
Yeah.
Because definitely all that when I look into the world and I see everything that's threatening a thriving human race and a thriving planet, I see the absence of love in all that.
There is.
And whenever I see, you know, thriving, there's tons of love and creation in all that.
Okay.
And love is also loss and heartache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and so to you, love is, life is love.
Well, life is many things, though, but as I see it, I see, because this is how I see the threat to everything that is thriving and sustainable and living is this void, right?
Yeah.
That's just, you know, this big nothing that's just sucking everything meaningful out of everything, right?
Okay.
And I see it grow on this planet. You can just look at the news. You can see all that. And we're coming to the anchor in just a minute, right?
The anchor?
Anger,
yes.
Because I would never put love, you know, anger is an emotion, right?
It is, yes.
And love can be an emotion. It is also expressed in as an emotion.
Well,
but
it
I would
is
never
an emotion.
Put
love
two
is
side
an emotion.
By side.
Love is an emotion. It's something you feel, so it's an emotion.
And but to me, it's way more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, like I said, there's lots of things I love. And
there is no other emotion that creates what love does, though, right?
No, there certainly is not. It is a special thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I try to avoid those connections with other people at that level. You know, we got all these people here in the chat, and I love them all. They're all awesome. They're wonderful people. The people that other people can't stand to talk to or watch their chat, I love
you
those
got
people.
Your army of misfits.
I love them all. I don't care. You know,
I'm proud to serve, Grimnir, in your army of misfits.
but you know, let's say I was like somewhere and I met some woman. And it seemed like we had some kind of immediate connection going on between us.
Yes.
I would avoid her. I don't want that. I don't want
That's
that.
Silly.
No, well, whatever. It is what it is. But
yeah, I'm just gonna say I'm gonna I hope I'm always gonna be in it for the love.
Okay, good. No, that's good.
I hope I'm gonna be in life for the flavors, right?
Sure.
I'm not passing time here.
I am. I look at life as an endurance test.
Really?
How long?
To me, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. There are so many fucking awesome things on this planet and in this life, and we have so many awesome senses and ways of enjoying it and ways of reflecting on it and you know, that to me that's just a big ass taste buffet. And I'm just going to get as much as I can.
Well, good. No, that's good. And that's what variety is, the spice of life, right? That's what they say.
And when I grow old, I'm going to sit alone. I'm going to sit, and maybe not alone, who knows. I'll be open, but I'm going to sit that and just open my treasure box of souvenirs and enjoy all those feelings that you can relive.
Okay. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, I enjoy the times when I'm, you know, out in nature alone. But, you know, if there's somebody else there with you, they're going to be giving their views or opinions on whatever. And and I probably don't want to hear that. I just want to enjoy the solitude. Anyway, great. Okay. Love. Love is wonderful.
I don't know.
Love is wonderful. Love is horrible.
Apparently, it comes across as if I think everybody should think like me. I don't
Does
think
it?
I do.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, just because you say, this is what I like, doesn't mean that you're saying you should like this. Say,
no.
You might enjoy this if you take the time to appreciate it as I do, but...
Yeah.
You may not, it may not trip your trigger, you know? It may not be your thing. So
this is where I'm coming from. This is the whole idea of this is I am really getting and loving this whole love thing. So I just really want other people to enjoy it too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
The whole thing about it.
I and that's understandable. I mean,
that might be very rigid.
I, you know,
I don't know. I'm okay with rigid thinking, though.
I do my blues show on Sundays, and I do that because I love the blues. And not everybody tunes in. I know that because not everybody shares my enjoyment for that style of music.
No.
Just as you were playing your polka or whatever the hell it was. Which
Balkan Yugoslavian disco.
Whatever. I can take or leave a lot of that, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, people play that like electronica stuff, and it's like, no. I don't want to hear it. Or the rap. Or even like the really angry slash metal kind of stuff. No, I'm not good with that either. I love...
Yeah.
Hard rock, I love metal, but when they start that stuff where it's like, it just sounds like they're all the time, I turn it off. I don't want to hear it.
No.
No, not Flash. Slash. Well, what do you call it? Thrash. Thrash.
Thrash.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. If it's got funk, I can do it.
Oh, yeah.
If there's something funky in it, I'm there.
Because you're a funky gal.
Yeah, it's going to be something funky.
All right.
But I don't know. I think maybe the world would be a better place and thrive much more if we had more love here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Much more love and much less anger.
Anger is not in itself a bad thing, though. But we can go into it because anger is an alert emotion, right?
Yeah. Anger is an emotion.
Anger, it alerts you.
But is it not primarily a huge waste of energy? a waste of time.
It's an emotion that when you feel angry, it's because you feel something wrong happened, right?
Or something you disagree, whether you wrong or not, something you didn't like, you disagreed with.
And usually it's injustices or what we, perceive as something injustice or unjust, right?
Right.
That trick that makes us angry. So it's either something we see somebody doing to somebody else that we find, unjust or unfair or wrong.
Right.
Or it's something that was done to us and then we become angry, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I still remember a time when I was like a teenager and I saw these pigs roughing up some guy for doing nothing. And, I've hated them since then. Not because they're out there to serve or protect, because that's not what they're doing. They're out there to abuse people because they have this shiny badge on. And the state gives them the power, to go ahead and do that. And if you were to try and stop them, from doing that by, like, reporting them or whatever, you're the one that's going to wind up in trouble, not them.
Yeah.
So, they do anger.
That's why there is a lot of anger around, because there's a lot of trigger shit to get angry about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The world is full of shit to get angry about.
And then when you find out, at some point in life, not everybody finds out, not everybody realizes it, but when you find out at some point in life that all the shit you've ever been taught was a lie, and it's all wrong, and they were instructing you that this is the way this is, this is the way history happened, this is the way that government works, and it's all lies.
And every bumper sticker hero was a brand that didn't exist, but was a flawed up human being, just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
there's tons of shit to get angry about.
But Oprah.
That's what anger in itself is. What, Oprah? Did you say Oprah?
No, I did not.
Oh, because I really wanted to hear that sentence, though, where Brimnir starts off with Oprah.
I have no no feelings about Oprah one way or the other. She's an entertainment thing that I don't find entertaining. So no, I sometimes I make fun of her in the chat or whatever. You get a whatever. That one thing she did where she gave everybody cars, I guess.
Yeah.
So I found that very humorous, and you can apply it to the various politicians out there promising you the world and giving you the shaft instead.
Because the fun part is, though, right? For some reason, and this is the thing that never dawned on people that do this, right? Oprah is being paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only Oprah, but her entire production company and whatever network she's on and all that, right? They're going to get paid lots of money, right?
Right, yeah, because people want to see her.
Yeah. What they do pay, that's advertisers that pay all those money, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. She does giveaways for like a thousandth of the incoming money into this Oprah company, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, she can afford to give a whole audience of a couple hundred people cars.
Like, here's a car.
Yeah,
in fact, what we could do, right, is we could cut out Oprah as the middleman, right? And then you could just have advertisers pay you to sit down and watch advertisement, right?
Right, but supposedly, and the reason a lot of people see the ads on whatever particular thing and they want to buy it is because somehow they identify with whatever that is. It's like all these sports ball guys. They're out there making millions of dollars every year. And you're going, why are these idiots making millions of dollars to throw a ball around? It's stupid. But people enjoy it. They enjoy watching the game. whatever it happens to be. And so the advertisers pile on, whether it's like beer or tennis shoes or whatever the hell. It doesn't matter. The people watching that, they identify with the characters or the players, I guess.
It's feel good.
And so that makes that. So if you're just watching the ads without your
Oprah to do feel good. For
yeah, without your entertainment thing involved.
That would be efficient, though.
What?
It would be more efficient.
But it wouldn't work.
No, but the money would still be there, though. No, you would just get money just to watch advertisements.
Moose Girl says the Oprah Winfrey. Moose Girl says the Oprah Winfrey show ended in 2011. I had no idea. I would have thought it was still on.
Yeah. She's eternal, though, isn't she?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's just one of the many things. It's just one of the many things to get angry about, though. It's stupidity like that, right?
Right.
So anger in itself is what is it? It's when you just express it, you know, you just explode it all over the world, right?
Yeah.
That's when it gets a little futile.
Yeah, you know, it's like the show that I like to watch is Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I record it so I can watch it. I don't watch it live. I watch it, you know, hour or two after the show airs so I can zip through the commercials. I don't want to watch the commercials.
Mm.
So screw those advertisers. But I do see little bits of the ads as I go through, zipping through them. And primarily the ads are all for old people crap. Apparently Jeopardy is
Flow TV, right? Are you watching Flow TV?
Flow TV? I don't know what that is.
Not streaming, not paper, but Flow TV.
No, it's just regular over-the-air television. I don't know.
Yeah, wait, that's Flow TV?
Okay. So, yeah, I record it. I have a DVR built into my computer that I watch, that it was a tuner
okay.
in there.
Okay.
And so I can zip through the commercials with the fast-forward button there. So that's how I see it. But sometimes you see a little bit of whatever commercial, and it's always for some kind of various drug or ailment or whatever they think old people need, retirement homes. I don't know. So it's very targeted to the crowd that they're aiming at. And, yeah.
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 So it's funny.
The demographics of Jeopardy.
But it's the big pharma stuff. And apparently those commercials, you know, you don't have your 15, 30-second commercials. Those commercials are like 2-3 minutes long.
Wow.
So they got a lot of money. But I don't get angry.
I think we had aspirin advertisements at some point.
Yeah.
And throat, but that's otherwise I've pharma ads in Danish TV is not allowed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, aspirin's good. I like aspirin. it's a very handy drug.
Yeah.
I like the pure aspirin though. I don't want any of the other buffers or whatever other stuff in there. But that's just me. Anyway, I don't have a lot of anger at this point in my life. I tend to just laugh at crap rather than get mad at it.
Wouldn't you say maybe then you have a healthy anger though? Because you still get angry. I know you do because when you watch cops beat up on humans.
Right. Yeah. No.
You get angry.
I do get angry at those, and they are one of the more difficult things to laugh at. Because they're actually...
But then you figure out a way to manage it and channel it instead of exploding it.
Right. And you know, I try to avoid it because it does make me... I don't get a good feeling from it. I get the opposite of that. And so, I mean, as Moose Girl and I have talked about many times on Freakers, we could do every single show every week, 3 hours full, no music... of just cops doing bad shit to people. and we would never be able to even come close to covering all the various stories of their nastiness. So,
but
yeah.
You would be so miserable.
Oh, I would go out of my mind.
And angry all the time.
I would go out of my mind. I could not handle it. So,
because I think that the emotions that we put into the world, right, they help shape and create the world we live in. And there's definitely a lot of expressive anger right now.
Yeah. So what?
Which means that a lot of people are being stepped on, though, right?
Yeah, well, everybody's being stepped on, unless you're one of the few small group that think of themselves as elite, and they call, and most people call them, oh, they're the elite. They're not freaking elite. They're pieces of shit. that want to control and do, for the most part, control life on this planet as we know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then your anger also makes you aware of all this shit. Without it, you wouldn't be aware that, you know, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe one of the issues with modern life, right? Or maybe it was not so modern, but then with civilized life.
Civilized. There's a word for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what do you call it? Inhibited?
Yeah.
Right? Owned.
Pwned.
I think pwned. Yeah. I think maybe it's that we have all this inspiration, right?
Right.
And some people will call it divine inspiration. I would just call it human inspiration, right?
Uh-huh.
Then you can take it from there as of the divinity of it, right? But we have impulses and inspiration, right?
Yeah.
And I think that we've gotten so far away from those that we no longer react to them, though.
Okay.
And I say this because...
Expand.
Yeah, I'm just an example, right? One of the things that we are fighting the most in children in civilized countries, right?
Right.
Is impulsivity. Those are the kids we're giving labels and diagnoses of all sorts. Those are the ones who are really in tune with their impulsivities and who reacts to their impulsivities, right?
Right.
And I think maybe we would have other reactions to what is going on than just anger if we hadn't, you know, cut off all that impulsivity in us. Because I don't think it might not be a bad thing to react sometimes with a more clean or you know, deeper rooted connection to the everything or to love or to you know,
right,
the human morality or the human spiritual guide, right?
Okay.
But I think we were taught not to. I think we were taught to behave normal, right? Have manners.
Whatever normal is, yeah.
Sit down, listen, don't talk, do everything in somehow magical periods of 45 minutes. Because didn't we divide children's life into these slots of 45 minutes?
Well, what's the 45 minutes?
I don't know about you. Maybe in America it's different, but what's the class? How long is the class?
Oh, the public school crap?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 45 minutes or an hour. Maybe 55 minutes so you'd had time to get to the next class. I think most classes were an hour. I don't know. It's been a couple years since I've been in a school.
I just remember, you know, that whole thing, you were just getting into art and art class, right?
Yeah.
And you're finally getting, you know, you were having fun, you were, you know, getting into the mood of art class, right? And then some bell rings, and now I'm going to go do math?
Yeah.
That's so weird. And I just think, you know, that whole impulsivity of really diving into what makes us happy, the stuff we love, right? Because it's not going to be the same things for each and every one of us.
No.
Because you and me, we would choose really different things.
Right. Well, you know, there was some stuff that was enjoyable, right? Like your art classes or whatever are the things you enjoyed that, you know, 45 minutes was never enough. But then there was math class where you're learning your math stuff, and I'd be done with whatever the stuff was for the day in like 10 minutes, and then I'd just have to dick around and sit there and I mean, because all the math stuff was so easy to me.
And they should just have given you more math.
To me. Well,
more
but no, it doesn't work like that because it was they teach to the lowest common denominator. So if there's a guy there having trouble.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. Now you're in these slots of, you know, you're controlled by your time, not by your interest.
Yeah.
Because you would have gotten, do you agree with me? You would have gotten way better at math if you would have just been into enjoyable math. And for as long as your impulses or your ideas or your thinking process was into math, there were people right there teaching it to you.
Well, if you could just do it at your own pace, whatever that is, really slow, medium, or really fast, and they
experiment and have fun with it and go nuts and enjoy it.
Yeah,
right?
And they just let you go ahead and do it. And if you had a question, then you ask, you know, the instructor. But it didn't work like that. I couldn't be like 4, 5, 6 chapters ahead, or whatever they call them in a book for math, and ask the teacher about something that's coming up in 4 weeks because they'd get pissed off. What are you doing looking at that? That's not here yet.
Well, you see, that's the whole system. It's really programmed away from your impulsivity, though.
Right.
It grooms you through all this into being in complete control of your own, of every inspiration, right?
Sure.
So you never just take an inspiration and go with it.
Yeah.
And we really, you know, we didn't create all these advances in understanding and learning through doing it in slots of 45 minutes when we were told to.
Right. Yeah, no, I always found it ridiculous to have in the regimented times like that, but
yeah, and you still sort of do it, right? We make, you know, the people who just go with an inspiration or go with their impulsivity, we call those the wacky ones and the weird geniuses and the misfits and the ADHD people or whatever label or diagnose we put on people who are actually just really a lot in tune with that. And you can call it divine or whatever, internal or external. I don't know, but it's a flow, right? Energy or vibe that just makes you learn and understand and put shit together, right? You know the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have we covered? Did we cover kindness?
No, we didn't. I went to the
inspiration
instead.
Okay, well, kindness is kind of covered a little bit under love, I guess.
Would be a cool currency, though, right?
Kindness as a currency?
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool currency.
Okay. Well, I think I'm a fairly kind person.
Yeah.
And not out of any desire for whatever. It's just I find it easier and I feel better about being nicer to folk than to be mean to folk.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Life is better when you're a kind person. Because you get kindness back, though.
Yeah, well, see, but that's the whole philanthropy thing, you know. I'm giving, look at all the money I gave this person. Aren't I great?
In we have a Danish saying that says every thief thinks every man is stealing, right?
Right.
Yes. So if you're genuinely a kind person, you're also going to meet the world as if it's full of genuinely kind people. And then you're going to meet it, and you're going to somehow have more and more kindness around you because you're creating it, and it's getting repaid, and you're looking for it, and you're growing it.
Yeah.
That's the same goes for anger, though, right? If you constantly have anger and you give out anger to other people, you're going to be living in anger. You're going
right.
to be getting anger back.
Yeah, no, if you're angry all the time, then and you have a rotten,
horrible...
The world is going
to get fucking angry with you, too.
Yeah. It's sure. I mean, what you put out comes back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing how that works, isn't it?
It's so simple, right? So
yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's for Twitter. We can do the hashtag really deep.
Really deep.
Yeah.
See, people could take that wrong.
They probably will. Those hashtag MAPs, right? Wait.
MAPs?
We weren't going to go there, were we?
I don't know what that is. MAP.
Okay, here's the thing, though, right? If you want to do something good for this planet and the people on it, you go track down some of those who hashtag MAP on their Twitter.
Oh, that's what you were talking about earlier.
Those are disgusting and horrible human beings.
But are they?
And the more you
hunt
them down,
let me ask
you hold them accountable for what they're doing, they're disgusting.
So let me ask you, though, but is it something in their nature? Is it natural to them to be these disgusting, horrible people?
It might.
Do they feel...
I don't judge people for their thoughts, but their actions.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're out there on the internet hashtagging yourself with MAP, you're probably grooming girls and hanging out in teen chat rooms.
Yeah.
And shit like
I mean,
that.
You're not freaking animals. No. You can control your urges.
Then you wouldn't be hashtagging it all over Twitter, would you?
Right. No, you would, whatever, you know, had your desires, I guess. I don't know how you would put that for those people that are the pedos.
Meditate, people, meditate.
Yeah, just figure out that just because you had whatever thought doesn't mean you got to act on it.
Nope.
I mean, you know, the same for the anger people. You don't have to go out and shoot people or punch people in the head. Or whatever, you're not a freaking animal.
No. But you could redirect it and go catfish some of those people out. The MAPs.
But why?
Call them out. They're nasty and disgusting.
Okay.
That's all I can say. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the serious part of the radio program.
Okay, well we've run out of time.
Because
that
shit pisses me off, right?
It should. I mean, especially, you know, if you had kids or whatever, you just don't want, I mean, you want to see innocent little humans destroyed because somebody's weird. I mean, that's just messed up shit.
Yeah.
So you're not a freaking animal.
And they make it normalized. It's disgusting.
Anyway, we've run out of time, so we didn't cover creation.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No,
that's fine. Well, so we'll maybe do creation another time. I don't even know where we're going to go with that, but
no, next week we're going to do war and violence.
No, we're
right?
not.
Now that we did love.
No, we are not.
But we got to balance it out.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Oh. Oh, man. All right. Anyway, folks, thanks for everybody for tuning in to the show here today, to It's All Connected with Grimnir and Cirque. That would be her and I. And we will be back again next Monday with something, not war and destruction.
No, because we already did giant meteor, though, right?
Oh, well, that's a much better way of doing it. Tomorrow, I don't think Flash plans on a show tomorrow. He did do a kind of a one-off dork table on Tuesday with with Rob a few weeks back, so who knows? And but he did a normal dork table with Grams on. Oh, did he on Saturday? No, he
did.
He did a solo. He did a solo. Right. Grams will come back when she feels like it.
Yes.
If she feels like it.
And we will look forward to her coming back.
Absolutely.
We love her, Mary.
I cannot wait for Grammy to come back.
She does great
shows, and she makes me laugh. And I
yes, me too.
Love to laugh. As you could probably tell. Anyway, that's it. Check the schedule on RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz, and have a great day. Have a great week. Eat some turkey, if that's your desire, on this upcoming Thursday for use in America. And screw
and
the
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that too. And screw the governors that tell you not to do anything and don't hang out with people. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Eat lots of food, people.
Oh, yeah, tons of food. Eat. Pig out. Yeah. Be a pig. All right. Peace.